We're talking with Dr. Lawrence McQuillan. He's the Director of Business and Economic Studies at the Pacific Research Institute. Well, your work at the Pacific Research Institute has been instrumental in bringing change to California's legal reform climate, which ultimately impacts states watching California. What projects are you specifically most proud of in the legal reform arena?
Well, I think probably in California would be Prop 64, which radically overhauled an area of the law called our 17200 code, which was basically, it allowed a whole lot of frivolous lawsuits against business owners, especially small business owners, for really frivolous reasons, like the point size of the font on their labels was too small or something like that. So it allowed private attorneys to sue on behalf of the public against business owners. And they generally went after small business owners because they felt like they were most likely to sue, I mean to settle, and just pay up front and end the suit right there. So it was basically shaking down a lot of small business owners for very frivolous things. And there was a measure put on the California ballot a couple years ago to end that, to reform the procedure so that private attorneys didn't have such a blank check to go after all these businesses. And it worked in the past, and it's basically in the model right now that's being used around the country to help rein in this abuse from attorneys.
Following along the idea of a model, I know that California has been very instrumental and well in developing legislation with respect to the Victim Compensation Program. Do you think this should be a model for other states to follow, and if so, why?
The California Victim Compensation Program was set up years ago, and it's funded by criminals at the time that they're convicted of a crime are told to pay into this fund, and then the fund is used to compensate victims or members of their family for such things as funeral expenses or counseling, that sort of thing. But it turned out that the fund was being completely mismanaged, and oftentimes the money is going to put on an addition to someone's house or being paid to the cousin of a victim in order to help renovate their home, something like that. So we wrote an article here at the Pacific Research Institute for the LA Times exposing how poorly managed this fund was, and it actually led to the dismissal of the executive director and a complete overhaul, reorganization of how the financial matters within the fund are managed. So it really led to a complete overhaul of the program, and it has established some form of fiscal oversight and stable management now of this fund that was completely being abused.
Likewise, some of the work that the Pacific Research Institute has done relates to California's workers' compensation system and the need for reform in that arena as well. Can you touch on that and why it may be important for some of the state partners to look at what has happened in California with respect to the workers' compensation system and maybe more advancement that might be expected down the road?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 2003, California had the highest workers' compensation costs. These are insurance premiums that businesses pay to insure themselves against slip and fall and those types of accidents by their workers on work time. And we had the highest rates in the country at that time. But ironically, we had some of the lowest benefits in the country at that time. So as you can see, the middlemen in that case were really taking most of the money for themselves. And these were doctors and lawyers and that sort of thing that were really getting rich off the system. So late in 2003, right before the recall, actually, there was a measure passed and signed by Gray Davis just before he left office. And then again in spring of 2004, Schwarzenegger signed a major overhaul of the workers' compensation system that would not have passed, actually, if not for the fact that Schwarzenegger threatened to put even a more draconian version of that onto the ballot as a ballot initiative. So it was basically the threat of going directly to the public to get something passed that was even more extreme that forced the legislature to make a deal with the governor and pass major workers' comp reform. Since that time, since spring of 2003 or spring of 2004, workers' comp rates in California have fallen about between 55% and 60%. So it's been a huge fall and a great benefit for especially small business owners in California that oftentimes are being driven out of the state by extremely high workers' compensation rates. They were going to Nevada and Arizona and Utah and places like that. I was on a panel in Sacramento recently with a candy manufacturer that used to have an operation in Sacramento, but he left to set up shop in Nevada because of the workers' compensation rates. And by moving just one state over, he saved $1 million a year in his worker compensation costs, and now is able to provide health insurance for his workers, whereas he couldn't in California. So
workers' compensation is very often an issue that a lot of folks don't pay attention to or don't think about when you talk about legal reform, but it is certainly, you have evidence there in California of how changes to the workers' compensation system can in fact either hurt or help the business industry.
Right, right. I mean, that's a huge benefit to businesses when they can lower their costs that much. And in some cases, that was their second or third highest expense for a lot of businesses. So that was a huge benefit, and it's kept a lot of businesses from fleeing the state and going elsewhere.
The Pacific Research Institute is to be applauded for its publication last year of the U.S. Tort Liability Index, the 2006 report. Can you explain very briefly what this is and whether or not it will be updated regularly and why the states should pay attention to this report?
Well, the report basically, it compares the states one to another, all 50 states, based on how expensive their tort burdens are in the state, how much the threat of litigation, tort litigation, is in the state, and how reform-minded each state has been. So it ranks the states from 1 to 50 based on all those various factors to measure how friendly or unfriendly the tort liability system is in each state towards business and consumers. And we found from the last one in 2006 that Texas came out number one in terms of providing the best overall environment for businesses in terms of tort liability, basically because they've been so reform-minded, starting in 1995 with Governor Bush, now President Bush, who passed a major reform package. And then 2003 and 2005, there were also major tort reform packages passed and signed by Governor Perry. So they've really led the country in terms of not only tackling a lot of different areas, but the reforms that they have passed have been very, very comprehensive. So I think they've done an excellent job in terms of seeing a problem and tackling it, providing a much better environment for businesses to set up shop.
Colorado, North Dakota, Ohio, and Michigan are up there with Texas in the enviable top rankings in your tort liability study. Are they doing things different than Texas, or is it simply that they as well are advancing these legal reforms in their state?
Well, they're doing well, too, in terms of reforms. They just haven't tackled as many areas as Texas. I mean, Texas has by far been the most comprehensive in terms of all the issues that they've tackled. We recently signed on to PRI, a new PRI fellow, Joe Nixon, who was in the Texas House of Representatives. He's now a PRI fellow for us and doing op-eds and studies like that. But he was the chief legislative architect of the tort reforms in Texas, in the Texas State House. And he can really tell great stories about how difficult it was, though, to get done. Even though the legislature and the governor were all on their side, still the trial bar came after them very strongly and came after him personally very strongly, trying to dig up any dirt they could on the guy. So it just shows how extreme measures that the opposition will take to try to prevent any kind of reform, even commonsensical reform like was needed in Texas. It's very vigorously opposed by the opposition.
Dr. McQuillan, recently, and I'm sure you heard about this, many government representatives, folks in Congress and the administration, they've acknowledged that America's legal system and our litigious society has had negative repercussions on our ability to compete internationally. Why is this, and what do you think we need to do as a nation to change that?
Well, for my most recent study called Jackpot Justice, we did a comparison. We looked at how much more expensive the U.S. tort liability system is than other industrialized countries with roughly the same per capita income, the same level of economic activity, that sort of thing. And it turns out that the U.S. tort liability system is about 59% more expensive than the rest of the world. So we're spending 59% more on our tort liability system than other countries. So right there, I mean, that puts U.S. companies at an extreme competitive disadvantage because they're having to pay 59% more for their legal services in U.S. than other countries. So it creates a huge incentive for companies to pack up and move elsewhere and to go to environments that are much more friendly for them and provide lower costs of doing business. And so it definitely puts U.S. companies at a competitive disadvantage and makes manufacturers want to set up shop overseas. They're going to take those jobs with them. So it also hurts, in terms of job growth in the U.S.
All right, let's take it even one step further down. You've indicated that it's 59% more expensive for corporations in the United States because of our legal system. You've also referenced that we're losing jobs. I'm sure that the case can be made that even the average American, not just someone that's running a business or perhaps employed by one of those businesses that may be looking to go overseas, but that we need to pay attention, careful attention, to what's happening with our nation's legal climate. Why is that, and what do you think we can and should do?
Well, I think the average American really does need to pay attention to this problem. In Jackpot Justice, we calculated how expensive the U.S. tort liability system is overall, including everything. And we concluded it's about $865 billion a year, each and every year, that is spent for the U.S. tort liability system in the U.S. So that translates into about a cost of about $10,000 per family of four in the United States every year. That's a tort tax, as we call it. I mean, it's a tax that consumers and all of us are paying, all families are paying in order to live and breathe in the U.S. rather than some other country. And so it's a huge cost that everyone is paying, and it's a huge drag on the U.S. economy because those resources are going to spend on basically the U.S. liability system, which is just a huge transfer system. And the tort liability system is set up to transfer money from those who have been damaged from those who have done the damage. And that's all it's intended to do, but now it's become such a huge overall transfer system, it's become such a huge drag on the U.S. economy that all of us are paying the price. That translates at $865 billion, that's about the size of the U.S. restaurant industry. So think about all the fast food joints, all the fine eateries in this country, all that for 1 year, that's about what the U.S. tort liability system is. So it's a huge industry. The lawsuit industry now in this country is one of the leading industries when you look at it that way and compare it to like the restaurant industry.
It's amazing to hear it called an industry, but that's exactly what it's become. And now that $10,000 tort tax, that's a lot higher than the initial estimates or the previous estimates used to set it at, am I correct?
Right, yeah. The most commonly cited number comes from a study by Tillinghast, and that number is much lower. It's more about $800 and some a year per person. But our numbers are much higher because we take into consideration other factors that Tillinghast doesn't. And their study is great, but it looks at just one facet of the lawsuit industry, which is basically, they call it U.S. direct tort costs, which is just the cost paid for, judgments, settlements, attorneys, that thing, that sort of thing. But they don't look at all the indirect costs, the costs on the healthcare system. For example, ordering tests and procedures that aren't needed, but doctors order these tests just to protect themselves, what's called defensive medicine. Those costs we calculate are $124 billion a year. There's also costs for reduced access to health care. Because they're ordering all these unnecessary tests, that pushes up health care costs, and then people can't afford insurance anymore. So they then don't get treated at an early enough stage, they become less productive at their work, and that leads to less overall productivity in the economy. That's another $40 billion cost we measure. So we look at all the indirect effects that Tillinghast doesn't. Another one is a lot of the resources that companies are paying for legal defense, legal costs, could have been going into R&D, could have been used for innovation, could have been used to produce new products. And we estimate about $367 billion of new products aren't produced each year, aren't sold to American consumers because they're not coming to market, because they're not being created, because the resources instead are being used to pay for lawsuits and defend themselves from lawsuits. So, when you add it all up, it's a much higher number than what most people think, because all of these other indirect effects have not been taken into consideration until now.
What about the indirect effects on stockholders?
Yeah, that also is huge. I mean, one of the strategies that the plaintiffs bar uses is to file suits against corporations to push down their stock price and to force the company to the bargaining table and strike a deal and strike a settlement. So we looked at that. You know, what is the effect of a lawsuit on a corporation? What is the annual total loss in stockholder wealth because of the accumulation of all of these lawsuits against corporations? And it turns out about for every lawsuit that's filed, that a stock price gets depressed about $3.9 million. So if you multiply that by the number of lawsuits that are filed against corporations, it's over $680 billion a year that stockholders lose in terms of their overall wealth due to excessive lawsuits being filed against corporations.
How would you respond to the trial bar's argument that tort reform initiatives in states like Texas, number one on your list, are akin to declaring war on victims' rights?
Well, I think that's not true. I mean, I think the goal of tort reform has always been to create a fair and predictable legal system, but not exclude anyone from access to the courts. And I don't think that anyone could say that anyone hasn't been absolutely excluded from the courtroom. I think if you have a legitimate injury, and you deserve fair compensation for that. But the problem has been is that a lot of lawsuits have been entered into the courts that just have no merit and should never have been allowed in. And also the payoffs for relatively minor damages have been just so exorbitant. So that's really been the problem. And I don't think that in any state you can point to the case where, you know, legitimately injured people have been denied access to the courts. I don't think it's happened. I don't think the pendulum has swung too far, in other words.
On your website, www.pacificresearch.org, you post a Washington Times article titled "Spoil Sport Trial Lawyers." Can you tell us about this article?
Yeah, that was written by a PRI fellow, Steve Hantler, and he looks at how extreme, you know, that some of these, and crazy, some of these lawsuits have gotten around the country, to the point where a lot of school districts now are banning tag and dodgeball, and also now you have to see, you know, in some states you have to have a law passed in order for a healthcare provider to say I'm sorry. That's how crazy it's gotten. So he's looked at that. You know, he's came up with lots of interesting examples of that. How lawsuit lunacy in this country has just gotten out of control, and the drag on the economy from that sort of thing, and how uncompetitive now U.S. businesses are. And how it's leading to manufacturing plants in particular to go overseas, just because the tort climate is so much more favorable.
Pacific Research Institute is based in California, but obviously your efforts are nationwide. And we've talked quite a bit in this interview about how many states do look to California as a leader in legal reform. Last month, PRI published a release on California's top 10 policy blunders. What are some of them, and do you think there will be changes in 2007 that may cross across state lines again?
Yeah, I mean, well, one of them was that we increased the minimum wage in California. It was exactly the thing that we shouldn't have done, because now it's going to make our business climate even less favorable. I just read a study by United Van Lines that once again, for I think like the 12th or 15th year now, more people have left California than have entered, and this is, you know, domestic residents. So the only reason the state of California is growing is because of foreign immigration. Otherwise, more people are leaving the state than are coming in. So I think that's a great barometer of how attractive your state is, and it's not an attractive place to set up shop anymore for businesses. And you know, raising the minimum wage is exactly the thing that we shouldn't have done, but we did. So that was a huge policy blunder.
The Pacific Research Institute's report, The Jackpot Justice, comes out in just a couple of weeks. Who wants to read this? Why should they pay attention to it?
Well, I think everybody needs to be aware of it, because I think the important part of it is it includes all of the factors that haven't been considered before, because I think most people think about tort costs. They think about just the actual cost for the judgment or settlement, but they don't think about all the other factors that are impacted, all the secondary spillover negative effects that tort litigation has on the economy. So I think that's the beauty of the study, is it really spotlights all of the negative spillover effects that tort litigation has on the economy that most people don't think about, like the effect on healthcare providers or accidental deaths and that sort of thing, or on stockholders. So I think it's important to have, you know, a comprehensive assessment and look at the problem, because you can't really solve the problem until you understand, you know, how big it is. And I think when people look at the study, they'll realize it's a much bigger problem than anyone had imagined until now. And I think that's a good wake-up call, though, for policymakers and for grassroots organizations to get a hold of this study and to see that, you know, the extent of the problem is much greater than anyone thought.
Well, great. Thank you. We look forward to reading it. We've been talking with Lawrence McQuillan. He's the Director of Business and Economic Studies at the Pacific Research Institute. Thank you for your time.